Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 1891, a high school physical education teacher named Joe Naismith, who eventually became a Presbyterian minister, was trying to figure out what to do with a group of rowdy students trapped inside the school building during a particularly bad snowstorm. In a moment of desperation, he nailed two peach baskets to the opposite walls of the gym, divided the students into two groups, and handed them a soccer ball. The goal of the game, he said, was to get the ball in the other team's basket. Since then, many new rules and regulations have developed to give the game of basketball structure. But one thing that has endured is the height of those baskets, 10 feet from the floor. Naismith's arbitrary decision ultimately had a huge impact on the game, since it meant the best basketball players were likely to be the tallest. Eventually, those tall players figured out the art of the slam dunk, which quickly became controversial. For a time, it was forbidden in the NBA, but eventually, it was balanced out by the introduction of the three-point shot. The three-pointer was the great equalizer in the game of basketball, since it got players away from the basket. It also meant that a player smaller in stature, like, for example, Steph Curry, could score as many points as a big man like LeBron James, who can muscle his way up to the basket or dunk a basketball with apparent ease. Last week in worship, the Reverend Dr. Brian Blunt reminded us that to go back to the future, we first have to understand the past, where we've come from. And we have to have some idea of the future, where we want to go. Understanding an origin story of a sport or an institution or even of humanity itself gives us unique insight into the past and the future, which is one reason why it's important for us to read the book of Genesis from time to time. It's an easy text for us to dismiss. After all, most of us have been exposed to enough science that we could never believe the world was literally created in 7 days. So, as modern listeners to this text, we have to start by acknowledging what it is not. It is not science. It was never meant to be a factual, literal account of how the earth and everything in it came to be. It is also not myth. It is not simply a story that contains enduring truths about creation and humanity and God's relationship to it all. So, if it's not science, and it's not myth, then what is it? Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann suggests that this text, like all biblical texts, is theology. It teaches us something about God. And rather than answering the question, how did the world come to be, this text is seeking to answer the question, who is God? And how is God involved with the world and its creatures? Within this theological framework, says Brueggemann, the book of Genesis, and especially the account of creation, is proclamation. This text proclaims a foundational theological truth, that from the beginning of everything we know, behind and above and underneath and around and within all the world, God is. The movement Peace Child grew out of the Cold War in the 80s and its threat of nuclear annihilation. The name comes from the story of rival tribes in Papua New Guinea that would trade a child, a peace child, with each other as a way of stopping the tribes from attacking the other. This contemporary version of that story brought together American and Soviet teenagers to rehearse and perform a musical about nuclear war. After performing in a production of Peace Child in my hometown as a teenager, I spent a month one summer in the Soviet Union rehearsing and performing with peers from all over America and the USSR. As I reflect on that experience now, what strikes me about it is how much Peace Child played on people's fears. The musical was designed to raise the anxiety of the audience, to show that the threat of nuclear war was imminent, and to prove that such a war could be the end of us all. Although the book of Genesis tells the story of the beginning of the universe and God's relationship to humanity, it was, of course, created and written in a particular historical moment. And that was a moment that felt like the end for God's people. Scholars believe that this text was written down in its current form in the 6th century BCE, and that what prompted people to write it down was the experience of the exile, when the Babylonians attacked and destroyed Jerusalem, killing many of its leaders along with wealthy, powerful citizens, and deporting those who were left to Babylon to live in exile among their enemies, while the poorest of the Israelites were left behind. This event threw everything the people thought they knew about themselves and their God into question. And it was in this time of violence and despair and total uncertainty about the future that the stories of Genesis were written down. It turns out that this time of chaos and uncertainty created the conditions for God's people to rethink and to proclaim what they knew and understood and believed about God. Out of this season, we get this extraordinary account of creation in which God takes the raw, disordered, chaotic stuff of the universe and fashions the world as we know it. That stuff is described in Genesis 1 with the Hebrew phrase tovu vavohu, which is translated formless void or sometimes wild and waste. Tovu vavohu is a rare phrase in the Old Testament. It only appears two other times, in Isaiah 34 and Jeremiah chapter 4. In both cases, the prophets use this phrase to try and put words to the time of the exile, this time of utter chaos when God's people are under assault from enemies within and without, chaos that ultimately leads to formless void or wild and waste, the tovu vavohu of exile. And it is there, in the midst of the despair of a people cut off from their land and their homes and their God and each other, that the creation story in Genesis emerges. It is a story of God who has the power to take the tovu vavohu, the stuff of chaos and despair, and turn it into something ordered and extraordinary and life-giving and endlessly wondrous, light and dark, sea and dry land, plants and animals, even humanity itself, created in God's own image. But notice that the description of creation in these first few verses does not play on people's fears. Instead, these first lines of the Bible offer a proclamation of comfort. Genesis 1 proclaims that at the beginning of the creation of the universe, God is and God creates, using the tohu vavohu, the very chaos and wildness itself. From the wild waste, God creates everything. It is when they were most filled with anxiety, most uncertain about their future, most unclear about who was in charge and what that meant, that our ancestors needed the proclamation of Genesis 1. In the beginning was God, and the tohu vavohu. And God took that tohu vavohu and from it made something wondrous. This was meant to teach our ancestors and us that what looks like tohu vavohu is for God the stuff of creation, of new life. Amy Cuddy is a social psychologist, a best-selling author, award-winning Harvard lecturer, and the presenter of a TED Talk that has been viewed over 62 million times. But she's very clear that none of that was what she had planned for herself. When Cuddy was a sophomore in college, she was in a terrible car accident in which the car rolled over multiple times and she was thrown out of the vehicle. This caused her brain to shake around inside her skull, and because each layer of the brain is a different density, the layers shake at different speeds, causing axons to tear throughout the brain. What Cuddy suffered is called a diffuse axonal injury, and what it really means, she says, is that you're just different in every way. There's no one targeted part of the brain that's affected. It's your personality. It's your ability to think. It's what you think about. It might even be the way you move. In other words, Cuddy's brain was in a tohu vavohu state, chaos and wildness, disorientation and uncertainty. She not only had to relearn things that had once come easily, she had to relearn what it meant to be herself. Eventually, she was able to return to college, and she decided to study brain injury, which led her to social psychology, which led to getting her PhD and going on to do such critical work in behavioral science. But it all started with a car accident that threw her into a state of tohu vavohu, from which she had to rediscover and recreate herself. We, of course, know something about tohu vavohu. We know about chaos and uncertainty. We know what it feels like to be in a season where nothing works the way it used to and things don't make sense anymore. For us as a church throughout this season, whether we realize it or not, we have leaned into the proclamation of Genesis 1, that even in the face of tohu vavohu, God is and God creates. This is the promise of our past that also provides the roadmap for our future, the map we've already been following as we adapt to the realities of being the church in this season, when many of the old ways of doing and being church don't work the way they used to. Believe me, I know and I feel the challenge of this season. What we're doing is hard work. It's uncomfortable work. to join God in the work of taking tohu vavohu and creating something new from it. But that's what we're doing. We're trying new things. We're adapting where we can. We are supporting and loving one another. We're opening ourselves to our community and to the needs of our neighbors. We're not only relying on the promise of Genesis 1, the promise that in the face of chaos, God is and God creates something utterly new. We are also proclaiming that promise. We're proclaiming it by getting creative, by trying new things, by encouraging each other, by looking for signs of God's Spirit sweeping in and through us, just as that Spirit swept over the tohu vavohu. And we're proclaiming it by trusting that there is no tohu vavohu that God can't turn into something wondrous. In the beginning of the universe, the beginning of our lives, the beginning of this very day, yes, there is always tohu vavohu. But more importantly, there is God, who can take even the messiest, most disordered, chaotic stuff and from it create new and wondrous life. Amen.